mentioned many times the Shaare Tshuva, who says that there are two kinds of sins and two kinds of sequence of tshuva. For sins that a person did one time out of character, you first feel bad about it, and then you stop doing it because you feel bad. But sins that a person is in the habit of doing, unfortunately, it's very hard to regret doing them, because you get in the habit, and once something's a habit, nasis lo keheter, you don't see there's anything wrong with it. So those sins you have to stop doing first and get out of the habit, and then you can regret it eventually. Then the azivas hacheit, stopping the sin, comes before the regret. We're in the middle of Elul. The purpose of this month is to prepare ourselves to do tshuva, or at least to do tshuva by the final time for doing tshuva for this year on Yom Kippur. And the sins that we don't do usually, and they're out of character, are pretty easy to do tshuva. But it's the sins that we get into the habit, and by some of us, we have a lot of habits that are unfortunately not okay, speaking for myself. And therefore, it's very difficult. Those are the things that are hard to do tshuva. But you have to stop doing them, but it's a little bit of a catch-22 situation. Because if you don't regret it, what's going to make you stop? And in order to regret it, you have to stop. So which comes first? How do you do it? So one of the incentives to stop doing a sin that you don't regret is recognizing the fact that Yom HaDin is coming. And what a person's going to have for the coming year in everything, including whether he's going to be here or not be here. Mi yichye u mi yomus. Depends on that din. And if you don't change and stop, you're not going to have chances of getting a good din. And that means that you may not even be here. So it's for sure worth getting out of the habit of doing the chait, because you're going to have to stop doing it anyway if you're not here. It's like the person who smokes, who doesn't regret smoking, loves smoking, goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him, if you don't stop smoking, you are going to die in 2 months. A person like that, unless he's stomach sugar, is going to stop smoking. Even if he doesn't regret it. He loves smoking. But if he dies in 2 months, he can't smoke anyway, so he might as well stop smoking now. And therefore, part of the incentive of Chodesh Elul to do tshuva, especially for those sins that are very difficult, the ones that you're in the habit of doing, is the concept of Zechiras Yom HaMavis. Remembering the fact that we are mortal and that one day we're not going to be here. And remembering that should help a person to stop doing aveiros, even the ones he doesn't regret. However, just remembering the fact that we're mortal and one day are going to leave this world is not in itself enough to bring a person to that thought. Gemara says, La'olam yargiz olam yetzer hatov al yetzer hara. A person should always try to overpower his yetzer hara with his yetzer hatov. He should agitate his yetzer hatov over his yetzer hara. If that works, great. Then you don't sin. You overpower yetzer hara. What if it doesn't work? Then you should learn Torah. If that works, great. Doesn't work, then read Kriya Shema. If that works, fine. If not, then remember the day of death. So we always explained that it doesn't mean that if this works, fine, this doesn't work. If that's the case, then why don't you get to the point right at the end, in the beginning, remember the day of death. Forget about three other things. You have to learn, you say Kriya Shema, but you're doing it for a purpose. So get to the point. Remember the day of death. We explained that just remembering the day of death can bring a person to three negative conclusions. And not stop him from doing aveiros, but make him continue doing aveiros. It's only after you have the preface of Yargiz Yetzer HaTov al Yetzer Hara, agitating your Yetzer HaTov over the Yetzer Hara, and learning Torah, and reading Kriya Shema, Only then will remembering the day of death be possible. And we explained in the past that it means the following. One negative conclusion by remembering the day of death is the fact that, people die, but they only die because they eat hot dogs and they don't jog and they don't exercise, and therefore never, they die. But I'm going to only eat health foods, and I'm going to jog every day, and I'm going to get checkups every half a week, right, to make sure that I'm fine. And then I can guarantee that I'll live forever, because I'm going to guarantee that I'm going to be healthy. And I don't mean to say that it's not good to be healthy, not good to eat things that are healthy, and to exercise, and to go for checkups, all very good. But I know people who died in the middle of jogging. I know people who died from eating health food. So that doesn't guarantee anything. Hakol bidei shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, except for one thing, your free choice, when it comes to mitzvahs and averus. That's it. Everything else the Rabbanu Shalom controls. You have to live a way that makes sense. But don't ever think that you control anything in this world, and that anything you'll do will guarantee good results or bad results. The Rabbanu Shalom is the only one who can guarantee results. The only thing you can guarantee is that you have free choice. So in order to counteract remembering the day of death that brings me to, well, I'll control it, Yargiz Adam Yetzirah Tov al Yetzirah Hara. Agitate your Yetzirah Tov and the Yetzirah. Remember, that's all that you have to do. There's nothing else in this world that you're in control of. Second bad thing is that a person will remember the day of death and he'll get depressed. I'm going to die anyway. What's this all worth? Whatever I do anyway. I earn money. Somebody else is going to get the money. Look in Kohelis. You see, well, Shlomo HaMelech looks at life like that. Depressed. So it's not good to get up in the morning. You just turn over, pull the covers over your head, and just stay in bed all the time in total depression. That also could come from remembering the day of death. Depression. Nothing is worth anything in this world. Comes along the Gemara and says, learn Torah. Torah makes everything in this world important. It tells you how to utilize this world. The world's a very important place. Not to get depressed over. Every single thing in the world can be used in a way that will make your life eternal. So nothing to get depressed. The world's a very important place. Don't get depressed and say, well, we're going to die anyway. What's the worth of it? And lastly, a person can come to the following conclusion. Okay, I'm going to die, so eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The Navi says that, almost. Chal v'nishteki macha nomus. The Navi just left out the merry part. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. In order to counteract that, you read Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim. It's not a Hefkervelt. You can't just eat, drink, and be merry. You have responsibility. You have to live a life of responsibility. So after you have realized the only thing you control in this world is agitating your Yetzirah Tov over the Yetzirah Hara, and you've come to the conclusion that this world is important, you can't just get depressed and forget about the world, stay in bed because you're going to die someday. And you can't just eat, drink, and be merry because you're going to die, because there's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Then remember the day of death, and it will remind you that life is very short and very important, and get working on getting rid of those habits that you don't regret, but if you don't stop them, what's going to be with your Olam Haba? What's going to be with your judgment? With that, I wanted to explain something else that we've explained differently in the past. A medrash, I'm not going to go through the whole medrash, not to Nogeya now, but the two Rishoyim who were in Gehenna, one two Rishoyim were partners of crime, one went to Gehenna, then he seems to bring his partner into Gan Eden. So the Malach tells him that you can't do tshuva anymore in Olam Haba, and you should have done tshuva before you came here. And he tells him three mishalim, three allegories of why you can only do tshuva in this world, not in the next world. First he tells him, this world is like Erev Shabbos, and the next world is like Shabbos. If you prepare on Erev Shabbos, you have what to eat on Shabbos. If you don't prepare anything Erev Shabbos, you wake up Friday night, you can't prepare a meal, it's too late. Can't do tshuva in the next world, you have to do it here. Second marshal, this world is like the dry land, And the next world is like the sea. If you prepare yourself on the dry land, then you can eat in the middle of the ocean. You have supplies in your boat. But if you set sail without supplies, then in the middle of the ocean, you can't eat anything because there's no supermarkets to go buy supplies. You have an empty boat. You set sail with an empty boat. Now you want to get supplies. Tough luck. Too late. And the third marshal is, this world is like the yishuv, like the city, and the next world is like the midbar. If you prepare yourself in the yishuv, you can survive in the midbar. If you don't prepare, there's no place to get a survival kit in the midbar. We've asked in the past, why was it necessary to tell them three mishalim, and why didn't you tell them the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos? This world is like a preparation room to a castle. Prepare yourself in the preparation room, you go in the castle. If you don't prepare yourself in the preparation room, you can't go in the castle. You didn't prepare yourself, can't get in. Tonight I want to say a different pshat than I said in the past. The real allegory comparing this world to the next is a preparation room to a castle. That's what it's all about. The purpose of this world is to prepare for Olam Haba. Here is where you create the wherewithal for eternity. That's what it's all about. The other three mishalim are not the fact, but what arouses you and inspires you to understand that fact. This world is a preparation, and you better prepare because you're not going to be here forever. So there are three ways of understanding, and they all fit in with what we said about Zechiris Yom HaMavis. The first one is Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. It means that this world and the next world are different times. This is one time, and then there's another time. And time runs out. It doesn't exist forever. And Erev Shabbos eventually, no matter what you like, is going to come to an end. And for some reason, right, when that time comes, you're always never prepared as much as you think that you're going to prepare. It's a long day, short day. So the first incentive is realizing that time is running out. And there's a time that's chol where you can do things, and then there's a time for Shabbos that you can't do anything. And that reminds me that I'm really not in control over here. I can't control time. I can't stop time. Just like I can't stop time, I can't stop diseases, and I can't stop hurricanes, and I can't do anything. What can I do? Make the right choices. That's all I can do. So the first marshal reminds me that you are not capable of controlling anything because you can't control time. And Erev Shabbos is its time, and Shabbos is its time, and you can't do the same thing on both of them, and you can't control it. So it's exactly the first thing that you're supposed to remember when you remember Yom HaMavis, that this world is temporary, and it's a preparation for the world to come, but remember, it's like time you can't control. The only thing you control is your free choice. Second thing, the dry land and the sea. The other world's a different place. It's a different place, not only a different time. It's a different place. And in that place, there are no supplies. Where do you get the supplies from? From this place. You bring it with you on your boat. You supply it here, and you bring it with you to that place, because in that place there aren't any supermarkets. That's Olam Haba too. This world is extremely important, because this is where they sell the supplies. They don't sell them over there. So don't get depressed. Don't think the world is worthless. Chaparai! Buy as much supplies as you can. And then you'll be able to bring them to the next world, because if you don't bring them, you have nothing to bring there. You bring it from here. This world is a very important world. That's like learning Torah, remembering that don't think that the world is useless, that it's depressing, I'm dying anyway. No, get supplies. Get the supplies. And the third thing is the Yishuv and the Midbar. Tells me that this world and the next world have different conditions. The same conditions don't exist. The same way you can survive in the city is not the same survival kit for the desert. Desert, you need special things. And therefore, the things that in this world give you pleasure and give you survival, eat, drink, be merry, aren't going to help at all over there. And the desert doesn't help. In the desert, you need different things. Tell a joke that somebody's in the desert, he realizes that his water is gone, his canteens are empty, and he's beginning to get really thirsty, and he realizes he doesn't find a place for water. So he stops in an inn, and he figures, okay, now I'm going to get some water. Plenty of money with him, but he doesn't have any water. So the innkeeper comes out, and he says, I'm sorry, I don't sell water. I only sell ties. Ties. He's the last thing in the world I need right now is a tie. I need a thirst. He said, well, I have a good sale on ties. If you want to buy a tie, that's what I can sell you. Otherwise, what's it called? Water I can give you. He said, well, look, I'm not really interested in buying a tie, but can you tell me where I could get some water? He said, yeah, my brother, about 10 miles down the road, he sells water. Travels 10 miles, meanwhile he's really getting thirsty, right, to the point where it's already a sakana. He crawls into the other place, and he looks up and he says, can you sell me some water? He says, I'm sorry, we only sell people with ties. So, you know, it's what you have makes a big difference where you are, right? And in this world, can't get the water without a tie. In the next world, you need something different than you have in this world. So, therefore, you can't say eat, drink, and be merry, because that's not going to help you in the next world. You might as well get the survival. You might buy the tie here, and then you'll be able to get the water in the next world. If you don't buy the tie, not going to help. So, there are things in this world that you'll need as a survival kit in the next world that, if you get them, you'll be able to survive in the desert. And if you waste your time with all the other kinds of things in this world that are meaningless in the next world, you'll have nothing. So the exact same three things that the Gemara said, Yargiz Yetzer HaTov Al Yetzer Hara, learn Torah, read Kriya Shema, which are negating the negatives of remembering the day of death, are the same things in those Mishal. Don't feel that you can control your life and extend it indefinitely. Don't feel depressed that the world's worth nothing. And don't feel eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Yargiz, Torah, Kriya Shema, Erev Shabbos, Yam and Yabosha, and Yishuv and Midbar all are the same idea. So those are the things that a person has to think about during Elul to make it that when he remembers that he's mortal, and that's why a night like this, which is Le'ilui Nishmas, Shlomo ben Ze'ev, Mr. Jacobs, is very proper for Elul. Because what's the purpose of going to a memorial meeting? Hachayit in Elimbo. They'll remember that it's not just him, but we're all in the same boat. And the Mirza Hashem, we should all live a long time, but we're not going to live forever. And if we remember that, then that'll give us the incentive to do tshuva on those averes that are very hard to do because we're in the habit of doing them. It's the only thing that'll give us the incentive to stop, even though we don't regret it. And I think especially that this is a shloshim for Mr. Jacobs. I think there are three things that I was very impressed with him. And they also are these three things. Firstly, the nifter was mechabed Torah. He appreciated Torah. He appreciated people who learned Torah. He was proud of the grandchildren he had and children that were shomrei Torah. Even though sometimes he told them they had to go get a job and a career or whatever, because you're not going to become rich on learning Torah. It's not because he wasn't mechabed the Torah, because he was cared about his children and grandchildren, and he wanted them to have a parnos. But he appreciated Torah. I know. He told many occasions that I had to speak to him. He was very mechabed Torah, mechabed people who learn Torah. Just as an aside, the very generous chasna presents he gave my children. Children weren't exactly the closest people in the world, or had a, and yet it showed a certain kind of respect. A person who is mechabed Torah appreciates what the world's all about. The world is an important place. Torah makes it important. It's not a place to feel that it's worthless and to get depressed. Secondly, the second thing I was impressed with Mr. Jacobs is that he always conducted himself in a very refined way. could feel a little bit when you saw him that he was a person of royalty. He was he didn't conduct himself in a lowly way, but you could see he was a mechubetik person, a refined person. He spoke, the way he carried himself, the way he reacted to things. And a person like that is the antithesis of eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry are people who are unrefined. He was refined. Because he was refined, he gave this aura that the world is a refined place too, and you can't just be heavy. And thirdly, he was a person who recognized that the first thing I said is Mechabed Torah, whatever, showed that he realized that was the ikkar of the world, and that you can't control pretty much anything else. What gives the world importance is Torah. The last thing was that he showed that the world's important. There are important things. He spoke at every simcha, all the Jacob simchas, and he brought out that with those points. He thought about what he spoke, and he wanted to give over a message, and a message usually was a very good message. And the message was that this is an important world, not just a place that you could take for granted. He thought about what he did, and he thought about what he said. A person who thinks is a person who recognizes the importance of the world. So all the things that help a person to remember the day of death, and we're here remembering that because that's what you remember when you speak about somebody who died. But his life itself made that remembrance in a way that's positive. It's the way that he lived reminded people that we're not in control of this world, reminded people that the world is not a place to get depressed about, but Adarav, it's a very important world. And it's also a world that you have to live with dignity and with a certain respect and refinement and not eat, drink, and be merry. And if you understand those three things, then remembering the day of death will be a very positive thing to make a person stop doing averas that regret is not going to make you stop because you're in the habit of doing them. Therefore, he was a person who was zochet to respect. The fact that we have this evening, right? I don't remember too many times that we've had over here shloshims or whatever, for especially somebody who lived Arichas Yomim or whatever, not a tragedy. And Yishai organized this and thought it was a great idea, especially for Elul. And why was he zochet to that? Because Chazal say, Zeyu mechubid, people who respect other people deserve to be respected themselves. And Hamechaber Satorah Gufo Mechubed Al Abrios. The person who respects Torah also has good covet. Here's a man who respected Torah, who was a respectable person and respected other people. So of course he was zochet to this covet. No question at all. So Amir Hashem, we should use this occasion, Ilui Nishmasa, give his neshama a schus, to be able to use him as a catalyst, to remember ourselves that Yom HaDin is coming, and our lives depend on that din, and remembering that in the positive way will bring us to Aziva Sachet, and then Charata, and then finally, by Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, hopefully, to Tshuva. That way we'll be zocha, all of us, to Ksiva V'Chasima Tova, for ourselves, our families, for the Moshav, for Klal Yisrael. We'll see the day when HaKadosh Baruch will wipe tears, me al kol panim, the viaskot tzedek and hair. Amen. Amen.